You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 167 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, September 23rd, 2018, and I'm J.R. Cook here in Kansas City, and I'm joined with the full crew here. Got good old Danny and Ray. Danny Ray, right?
Yes.
Are you one person or two?
What?
What? I don't know, I'm just...
Did you say are we one person or two?
So we're not like a Transformers and then combined together to make the super robot or whatever.
The super Danny Ray. So there used to be a song back in my day before you guys were ever born called Are You Jimmy Ray? So I guess we could have this song called Are You Danny Ray?
No. Okay. No. This is not okay. No. John used to think that we're from the same area, but...
So you're... Okay. Yeah. This already started out badly. So, Ray...
You want to restart again?
No, I'm good. We're good. I am fine where I'm at. So, Ray...
Okay.
Ray, what have you been up to, man?
Well, for this week, I've just been laddering. Honestly, I am starting to buckle down. It's the last week now. We're getting into the last week, so that means I gotta get high legend. Last night when I was streaming, I broke top 100, and then right now that's around where I am, is around like rank 100. I don't know. After I finished my stream yesterday, I climbed a little bit when I went downstairs on my iPad, got back up to top 100. I was like 88 when I went to bed, and I didn't really play much today. I was busy playing other games and just doing other things. It's Sunday, you know, got to watch football and all that. Mm. So
football's been pretty good to me last 3 weeks.
I know. It's nice. It's also getting to be that like fall weather too. Like I'm actually wearing a hoodie right now because it was cold today.
Yeah. On Friday, it was the first day driving to work where I considered putting the heat on my car.
Yeah, it was like actually cold, which is so weird because I feel like I was just putting on the air conditioner like 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, I made you shut it off last week because it was making too much noise on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. That's true. That's crazy. It's crazy how fast the weather changes. But so I've just been playing a lot of Shudderwalk Shaman just because I, for some reason, kind of enjoy the deck. I know it's kind of a degenerate combo deck, whatnot. But lately, I've just really been enjoying navigating the tough matchups. It's kind of refreshing on some level, just because you don't see the deck very often anymore. I think it's actually still very good. Hunter Ace and Orange brought it to EU versus China, and they both think it's actually pretty strong in the metagame right now. It's like a fourth deck. I brought it to WESG. I started off 3-0. I beat Dog and some other good players, and then I ironically lost to random people who I've never heard of, and I don't think they definitely didn't make a top 8 or anything, so I think they just beat me and then also lost.
That sucks.
Yeah, but they were all good games. I just wish that Shudderwalk is why I lost, but the games, like, I shouldn't have lost. Like, they were favored, like, because I would get two wins, and then Shudderwalk would have a chance to win twice against Druid and then Cube Warlock. Both times I lost to Cube Warlock plus Druid with Shudderwalk, and I had a percentage wise I probably had like a 60% edge on them just because Cube Block's actually a pretty bad matchup. But the Druids, they just drew Wild Growth into Nourish, and it's only a 2-game sample size, so it can just happen to you, and I just wasn't able to get my combo pieces together. I wasn't able to really live and continuously freeze his face to stop them from OTKing me. There was one game where I had the Shudderwalk combo put together by turn 9. Like, on turn 9, I could have played Shudderwalk, having already played Chain Gang, Life Drinker, and Grumble, but they actually just killed me before I got to turn 9.
Oh, wow.
Like, they just had Maligos Double Moonfire, and they just killed me. So it was like, man, That was rough, but
it's in the heart of the cards.
I felt good about the lineup. I felt good getting back into the swing of tournaments. Conquest is the main format that I'm used to, and DreamHack was last year standing, so it's a little bit I'm not as familiar with it, just because I didn't play when last year standing tournaments were popular, but I'm confident about my ability to succeed in Conquest again. So it feels good, even though I lost, it's still a
When's the next preliminaries?
The championships should be somewhat soon.
Yeah, it's in like a couple weeks.
The next prelims though isn't for like three or four months.
Okay, and then that's the final one before HCT, the World Championships.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, right? Because like when is Worlds gonna be for Hearthstone? Like, do we even know?
I have not been following Worlds. I thought Worlds was gonna be BlizzCon, but I could be incorrect on that.
It's 100% not.
Okay.
It's 100% not at BlizzCon. I don't even know if there's a date, which is really weird as a pro Hearthstone player, having no idea when the World Championships are. But
last year it was like January, February, right? It was like middle of the winter.
I was thinking you meant like the World Games, like where they have the countries against each other.
Global Games.
HGG.
Yeah, I was thinking of HGG when you were asking. That's why I thought that was at like BlizzCon or something like that. I know HCT.
I mean, that is at BlizzCon. You're right about that.
Yeah, I knew HCT.
Which
wasn't.
I'm glad that there's something at BlizzCon this year. Last year was really dry for Hearthstone content. There was like a show match, and that was it.
They showed off Dungeon Run. I remember that.
Yeah,
they had a Dungeon Run match.
Yep.
It was really bad. Everyone won their Dungeon Runs. You had to face the first six bosses or something.
Yeah, and it was all like super easy. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
When you play Dungeon Run, the first six bosses are, unless you're playing fairly poorly, the first six bosses are fairly automatic, and then your deck decisions start mattering towards the end of six and then seven, eight.
Yeah. But if you never played it though, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's
going
definitely
in.
True. When it was new, you definitely, I mean, you after you've gotten the hang of it, it seems like that,
but for players,
your decisions don't matter.
Yeah, for players of that caliber, it doesn't matter.
No. But you know what I figured out this weekend was somebody convinced me to try to get those quests out of the way, and when you actually go to do the Monster Hunter one, it says like defeat 10 monsters with the tracker. Once you beat that, it replaces it with a different one that says do it with the next character.
Yep.
So I was like, what?
There's a whole train of them. There's like five or six of them.
There's six of them. That's crazy. Like, I will just never... I tweeted this out today because I went on EU and Asia, and I also cannot get quests on those. Like, all the quest slots are just filled up with, like, that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I feel like it probably would take me, like, 3 or 4 hours to actually go through and do that on every single server.
That was one of the things. Sippy Wee did a poll of things that would be cool if they were introduced in Hearthstone, and one of the options was get rid of Dungeon Run quests. The other ones were like random card back, and then I think the other one was you can't queue into the same person two times in a row.
Man, I did like...
and then I was like, is support wild an option?
Oh man, I think we're going to talk about that a bit later, but yeah, Shudderwalk is fun. Very hard fact to play right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just because you have very little room for error. It kind of reminds me of Quest Rogue. I also played Quest Rogue for a bit, but on stream, when I climbed to top 100, I played Mali Ghost Druid, but off stream, I played Shudderwalk Shaman. So I think both of those decks are really strong if you learn how to play them correctly.
Yeah. So Danny, what have you been up to lately?
So this week I didn't really play too much Hearthstone, but I was involved with a lot of Hearthstone content. I actually made a video with Team One Trick, and we got it on the front page of Reddit for a while. So we talked about the state of Wild, and we can get more into that when we start talking about the news this week. But a lot of video preparation and all that stuff, doing some of the content creation side of Hearthstone this week.
Yeah,
I actually saw that video. It was pretty good. I think... when you were in my Twitch chat, too, somebody said that they were a fan of that as well. I think that was yesterday or the day before. So it's definitely has gotten a lot of reach, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to do. I mean, this is the point where Blizzard asks questions. They're like, hey, we want feedback. And we're like, here's our feedback. The question is now if anyone saw it at Blizzard, which I would assume they have at this point, and then if they're going to either address it or think about any of the things that we have to say.
I feel like there's no way that they haven't seen it, because there was a lot of talk on Twitter, but not only did that Reddit post go big, Kriparian also made a video talking about pretty much what your video was.
Oh, did he? I'm going to watch that after this.
I don't think he referenced the video, but I think he was just like, he might actually play Wild.
Yeah, so. In the past, he has made Legend Climbs in Wild, and that was just during the period of the Naga Giant stuff. So, like, he hit Legend playing Malagos Druid at that point, and he actually did a pretty good review of Wild versus Standard. So that was way back, though. That was maybe even, it wasn't last year, but it was like the beginning months of this year. So he's played, and he has a couple people in, like, some of his mods are pretty big Wild players too.
Okay, yeah, so that would make sense that he's like aware, and that was obviously one of the major points I personally took away from that announcement. But it looks like there are a lot of big names that are talking about it, it's not just like Wild community people talking about it. It's like big influencers. So if they haven't seen this feedback, then like they're looking under a rock.
Yeah, they've seen it.
To be fair though, Sippy Wee tweeted out, because we've been talking about this for a while. He's like, have we been yelling at the wrong place?
I saw that.
That one was pretty funny.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, they've seen it. Just depends on if they actually will do anything about it or not, right? So.
Yeah, but when they say, hey, we're looking for input, maybe they'll take a little bit more of a closer look.
Maybe. As for me, I didn't really get a chance to play much this week. I'll give you a sample of what work has done to me this last week. I work in the software industry for a company that does retail. So everything that we have to do has to go in by basically October 1st, because we can't put in anything by after that because of the holidays, and we don't want to affect that. So our crunch time basically is this month. And my 5-year wedding anniversary was on Friday, and I worked 16 hours that day. So just to give you a sample of, yeah. So Hearthstone is taking a back seat for me this week, unfortunately. But I go on vacation next week. I won't be on the show next week. I'm going to play a lot of Hearthstone out in the mountains. Totally going to do it. Yeah, my mountain Wi-Fi.
Just plug your phone into the nearby tree. You'll be all good.
I too.
Is that how that works?
Hey, power's got to come from somewhere, right?
Power just comes from trees?
If there's one thing I've learned from living in New Hampshire, it's that when you stick something in a tree, you get sap, not power.
What have you sticking in trees, Ray?
I don't know. I don't know what you call them, but, like, they're everywhere here in New Hampshire. Like, there's just stuff, like, that gets poked into trees, and it collects the sap, and then they make... Mm-hmm. This is where they make, like, most of the maple syrup.
Yeah, filter stuff, yeah. You poke the metal thing, yeah.
That's, like, our thing, is, like, maple syrup and apples. Like, it's all New Hampshire is going for it, man. Don't question it.
So when I come up to PAX East, you're going to bring me some maple syrup, right?
If that's what you want.
Solely maple syrup.
Just maple syrup.
No pancakes, no waffles.
Yeah, no, I just want maple syrup to bring home, and then I'll put it on my waffles at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, like, that's a legitimate request.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
There's some good maple syrup here, too. Like, if you go to the chain supermarkets, everything, they have some quality-grade maple syrup here. As opposed to, like, back home in Rhode Island, like, you'll just have the normal, like, what is it, Aunt Jemima syrup, and it's like, there's quality syrup here.
Well, that's because it's, like, from local places.
Yeah. I know my mother-in-law, like, went to Canada a few years ago and brought back, like, maple syrup from there, and it was the best stuff I've ever had. I'm like, why don't we get maple, and, you know, I live in the middle of the U.S., we don't have, like, good maple syrup, so.
Do you guys have anything?
We have,
grain.
We have corn, we have pigs, we have cows, we have tornadoes, so, you know, that's cool.
Interesting. Yep. I was going to make a comment when you said that you had a 16-hour workday on your anniversary. WESG, the tournament, almost, it's starting to encroach on 24 hours.
Yeah, I heard you saying that in Discord, that tournaments are, like we just talked about this last week, tournaments are getting ridiculous.
Yeah, we just had our longest one. Just saying, made it to the grand finals at 7:30 p.m. and he played his grand finals match at about 3 a.m.
Oh my god!
He waited. I don't know how many hours that is, but that's a lot of hours to wait.
Like, yeah, that's like 8 hours.
Yeah, me personally, when I went 3-0, when you lose, it's double elimination, so you have to wait for the loser's bracket to catch up. And I waited 4 hours for my loser's bracket match, which is, I guess it's something that's to be expected at this point, but the fact that WESG was around like 16 to 20 hours.
Yeah, that's silly.
It's like, I don't know. I guess it's like an online tournament, so you're like you're at home and stuff. But for me, I find just even staying up that late, like if you're trying to actually focus, because I've done a 24-hour stream before, and it's like staying up that late while also trying to maintain a high level of play is actually like not that easy.
Yeah,
because you can't really like take a nap or anything because
you're essentially on call. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be prepared to play because the matches could happen at any time, like with the loser's bracket especially, like if two people don't show up and there's like a double DQ, the bracket can just randomly like speed up really quickly. But that didn't really happen, but like since it can happen, like you can't really like take a nap or anything.
Yeah, that's,
man, Just Saying went in this though, isn't it like the third tournament in a row he's won?
Yes, he's on a tear. Yeah, he almost won PAX West as well. Yeah. Like he almost won four in a row. He got second at PAX West, and then he won DreamHack Montreal, won playoffs, and then he just won WESG.
And he's going to be at the HET Championship, fall championship, summer championship, something like that, the one that's coming up in a couple weeks. If you're looking,
it's fall.
Yeah, if you're looking to get some free packs, he might be your champion.
Yeah. I mean, I am. So,
do you think that it's just his skill level right now, or is he just proficient in the meta that's currently here?
It's probably both.
I think Just Saiyan's been one of the best players in the world for a long time, and obviously Hearthstone has a lot of luck involved, and eventually he was bound to Hyrule. Like, I think that it's surprising that DreamHack Montreal was his first major win. Like, that is very surprising to me, considering he's been this good for pretty much the duration that he's been a pro player.
Yeah, we have a person going to HET, the HET Championship as media, and they're asking me who they should interview there, and I'm like, I was looking at the names, I'm like, you should just interview Just Saiyan, just because he's about the only name I recognize here, and he's just doing really good right now.
Yeah, I think he is probably the best player in North America, at least, and arguably in the world, but Hunter Ace is definitely giving him a run for his money. But
anyway, you guys want to hop over and talk about tournament mode and things like that?
Sure, we can talk about tournament mode.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So last week we had a pretty big bombshell. We got a September update on called
the
Hearthstone.
Day after we recorded the podcast
in the works. Yeah, it was like the day after we recorded the podcast. And there's a lot of interesting stuff in here. A lot of it we were talking about, we might hear at BlizzCon. But now we're hearing it early.
Yeah, for better or worse.
Yeah, for better or for worse. The first thing that this post was talking about was the state of the meta. And so when I started creating these show notes, I put in little parentheses just a short little tidbit about the state of the meta. And for this one, I just put in parentheses, they're happy with it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they said. They said that there are a diverse amount of decks, and like each class is pretty well represented in the metagame, and they're not really concerned with anything in particular except for Giggling Adventure, which is the next thing on the list.
Right. Do you guys agree with the state of the meta?
I agree with what they said at the base level. I think that there is a lot of diversity, but it's not something that is necessarily a good thing because there's no new decks. Like, it's not diverse in the sense that there's like a bunch of new decks. There's like one to two the new decks. Like, if you consider Odd Warrior a new deck, then there's Odd Warrior with the mechs, and then there's the Xerix Cloning Gallery deck. And after that, outside of those two decks, there's pretty much all, like, last format decks. Like, Shaman has Shudderwalk Shaman, and I guess they have the Tempo Shaman, if you consider that a thing, but it's really not anymore. And they have Ibn Shaman, which existed last format. Pretty much all the decks are almost the exact same as they were last format. So
yeah,
it's diverse, but it's also very stale from, in my opinion. I think that diverse doesn't mean good. I think that it just means what it literally means. In the sense that, like, there are a lot of decks that are playable. But that doesn't, that also doesn't mean that you're seeing a lot of those decks. Like, in a general sense, like, out of the whole of ladder, sure. But, like, at high ranks, you're only seeing, like, the tier one decks for the most part. Or at least I am. Like, when I queue up a game, I don't expect to play against Odd Warrior. I expect to play against, like, Druid, Quest Rogue, Tempo Mage, or just something along those lines. Like, the meta might be diverse, like, outside of the highest tier of play, but it doesn't really feel diverse. And if it is diverse, it's definitely not new. So
yeah, it does feel like we're playing a lot of the same decks that we've been playing for quite some time.
Like, it just feels like nothing is changing about the game. Like, with each set that coming out, or with each set that comes out, it just feels like the same repetitive.
Well, I feel like like in this one, like, mechs were the big thing, and they just kind of fell flat this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were no new archetypes made. It wasn't like now there's a mech paladin, a mech hunter. Like, those were decks that could have been, like, new additions to the meta, but they were fairly weak.
Is it possible that after kobolds and all those rotate out, that we're going to see mechs become bigger?
I expect so. The power level of the past three expansions is just super high.
Yeah.
Stuff has to change, right? With that much rotating, but...
But it didn't. It didn't the last time, because the last three sets were so huge. I mean, yeah, you got rid of, like, the Jades and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you still had some of the other decks for a while until they introduced some of the nerfs. Q-Block would still be, you know, a pretty big deck still.
I mean, it still is.
That's
why I lost in WESG.
Right.
So, yeah, it just feels like we've been playing the same game over and over and over again. Like, the grind, as somebody who plays Hearthstone at a high level almost every single day, it feels like I've been doing the same thing for a year.
Mm.
Like, and then it just gets very boring.
Right. So, the next thing that they went and Ray kind of hinted at was cards to watch. And it was basically just Giggling Inventor.
Yeah.
They're keeping an eye on it. Okay.
I mean,
what's that mean?
Well, they literally said, we aren't planning any changes to Giggling Inventor for now, but we're keeping an eye on it in the meantime. So any shot that you thought that they were going to make a balance change in the next upcoming weeks, that's just nicked in the bud.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty disappointing because I feel like a lot of top players find the game boring. Like, I don't think that the metagame is bad. It's just not fun.
It's fairly repetitive from what it was last time. Which, yeah, last meta was pretty good, but too much of a good thing becomes stale.
Like, it obviously is a skill-based metagame or whatever. Like, the game does take a lot of skill to play correctly, and it's, like, very mechanical and all that good stuff, but it's not something where I'm just, like, excited to do. It's more like, oh, okay, I have to play in this tournament because it's worth so much money. And that's kind of, like...
That's your job.
Yeah, that's, like, what I do. And it's just, like, before, I'd be like, yes, I get to play in this tournament. It's going to be awesome. And now it's just like, okay, I guess I'll do this. Like,
well, part of that, too, is definitely the amount of times you've played certain matchups, right? Like, you played Quest Rogue versus, I don't know, Control Warrior or whatever. You played that matchup a ton of times by now. Whereas in previous metas at this point, it's like, oh, there's these two or three decks that are fairly new, and certain people have edges on them because they understand how to play them. Like, people have pretty much figured out the overall strategy and how to play these, and they're very refined at that point into the strategies of the decks. So, well, there's no new innovation. I mean, there's very few pieces of innovation that I've seen so far in the tournament scene.
Yeah, I mean, I played against a lot of the same lineup that happened last format, like the literal same lineups, like Q-Block, like Death Rattle Hunter, all that stuff. Like it all existed last format, so it's just like I've done this before, so it's just not as exciting, even though it does take skill and it does reward people being good at the game. It doesn't mean it's fun.
Yeah.
Or interesting.
I can agree with that. So the next thing on this list, and this is going to be Danny's favorite topic of this whole thing, is wild balance. And in my little quotes, I put, LOL, what is wild? Because that's basically what I got out of Blizzard's little three paragraphs there. Like, what? Hey guys, can you tell us what wild is, please?
Yeah. It's concerning that they, I mean, their questioning in their post really was, what should the future of Wild look like? Do you want it to be like in Magic the Gathering, you have, what is it, Vintage format, where you can use every single card? Or do you want it to be more like Modern or Legacy?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they were trying to say. And so I released the video with one trick, and we called it the State of the Meta. And it's a pretty good watch if you want to go see it, but I'll give you the one-line summary. It pretty much is, let's not concern ourselves with what the future of Wild is. Let's get more people involved with Wild and then see where to go from there. And I mean, we give some pretty good suggestions about things that could definitely be improved to get more people involved with Wild, because you want to look at it from both the high level player perspective and then just the average player. So because the high level player will get whoever they're following involved in it. So one of the things that I actually suggested, which was pretty, I don't know, it hasn't been mentioned much, is that there could be some sort of HCT point thing for Wild finishes. And I put it at half points relative to standard, but as soon as that happens, immediately the competitive standard format is going to get invested in Wild, just because everyone's multi-servering. And then it's like, hey, if I get a top 50 finish in Wild, mm-hmm. it's like getting a top 100 finish in standard.
I'm sure Ray
obviously
would love
they'd
that.
Have to work on that. But like, I think that you have to have some sort of competitive aspect if you really want to get people pushed into it.
I mean, I think like having the Wild open was really good at making people who played standard interested in Wild for that amount of time. I feel like there was a lot of standard players who qualified for that Wild Open tournament or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So right, I think it was like a top 64 finish or something.
Yeah, the
like
one
that
we did 2 years ago was we recommended that they go back to that one in our thing, because obviously the Open tournament that we had was pretty cool. I got to see some people play, but it was like a standard player just randomly, like you, Ray, you decided to come stop and see Wild for a couple days, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'll play these decks and then do that.
And then never play it again.
And go and play, but yeah. But I mean, there's also things that they could do to motivate the common player to play, where like something like having Wild chests at the end of the month that are different than your standard chests. So you'll get people a little bit more rewards. And there was actually something that Slizzle mentioned that was pretty cool. The changing of dusting costs for cards in Wild. If you go in and you make the cost of like a legendary and in Wild, make it cost half that much of standard. So you disenchant it, you get half the dust. And then you to enchant it, you get half the dust. That could be fairly beneficial because you get to the point where it's like that disincentivizes people from disenchanting their Wild cards. And then to get into Wild, it would be fairly easy, smaller monetary value.
I like that.
I think that you might have to add in something along the lines of giving people like half their Wild cards that rotate or something. Blizzard would have to figure out the specifics, but there's definitely something there with that. And I mean, those are just the low-hanging fruit for this. There's a lot of other things that you could do to make it better. Like we have issues with queue times. We have the ability, like, you run into people 5 to 6 times in a row if you're up at High Legend, which is just absurd. So there's a lot of things that they could change, but those are the, like, low-hanging fruit, the things that they could go in and, like, specifically change without doing much. And then that would just increase the quality of life for players and hopefully get more people involved.
I mean, that also increases the other bigger problems that you noted is, like, if you have a huge influx of people that are playing in Legend, your queue times won't be as long. And you just won't queue into the same player as often if there's more people playing. So
yeah, exactly.
It kind of all fixes itself if they have incentives to actually play the format, which currently there are zero incentives to play wild as somebody who is a competitive player.
So Ray,
there's just no reason.
It's actually a detriment to you to play the format because you're not focusing in on standard.
So Ray, I want to ask you a question about something that Danny had said there at the beginning of their ideas. How would you personally feel about if they introduced wild as a way to get like a half an HCT point? Because that sounds like, to me, that sounds like now you're having to play even more Hearthstone than you are today for those points.
I feel like they should have their own separate group of tournaments, and that Wild should have its own, like, HCT, so to speak. Like, a huge, not, like, as big as, like, Standard Worlds, but I guess kind of, like, a in addition to it or something like that, where they have, like, a Wild World Championships.
Right.
I think that would be cool. If they wanted to implement it in, to integrate it into, like, coinciding with Standard, I think that you do things like have a tournament that's just in Wild that counts for HCT points. I don't think that you combine the ladders, so to say.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I was that. Thinking that too, where you have your Standard HCT and you have a Wild HCT, and then you just make, maybe not I don't know if you make them comparable price pools or not, but maybe you do, and maybe that's how you get people invested in it that way from a competitive perspective.
Sure.
You wouldn't make it as big as Standard, that's for sure. Blizzard definitely went in and we addressed this. We said, look, Standard is the competitive format of the game, but as soon as you take any competitiveness out, it kind of ruins certain aspects where it's like no one... I mean, it's always good to go in and play a lot of fun games, and different people have different reasons to play. But if you want to go and push a format to where people are interested in it, you need to have people who want to play it at that higher level.
So because Wild isn't that popular because the competitive scene for Wild isn't there, is this a decent like use case for showing that, hey, Blizzard, maybe you should care about the competitive scene and LOL tournament mode, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that they're more likely to do something for Standard with competitive stuff because, like I said, they declared that the competitive format. And I was just trying to, when I said that, the reason we didn't go and say make our own competitive Wild Hearthstone circuit or whatever is because they're not likely to do it. That is a huge undertaking in order to go and do that. Whereas taking a part of like the fraction of the percentage or whatever is some way that they can easily just implement it and be like, okay, here you go. But obviously you'd have to go and it, like half points doesn't really work out and everything. You'd have to go in and fine tune that. But it was something to get a discussion talking, really, to get people talking, hey, maybe we should go and consider this, rather than people being like, hey, what should we do? Essentially, Blizzard's like, hey, give us your feedback, and we just gave them the things that they could do, gave them suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to jump down real quick, because we're going to talk about this later, but I think right now is a good time to talk about it. With their tournament mode announcement that they made in this post. And in my quotes, I basically have LOL JK. Just kidding on tournament mode, guys. and it's funny because we were just talking about this. Yeah, we were just talking about this last week before they even made this announcement. But basically, they like we hadn't been hearing about tournament mode. And, you know, they had said earlier this year it'd be coming this year, and we heard nothing. And now they have decided that it didn't feel right. Didn't feel right. It didn't feel like the bigger picture in Hearthstone. The social experience wasn't there, and they want to instead focus on these social experiences. So they're gonna step away from tournament mode.
I too wish we had social experiences in Hearthstone, but unfortunately, there are very few good fireside gatherings around the world.
But fireside gatherings are cool, though.
That's the next line in
That's my next line in my notes. because they did talk about fireside gatherings, and I'm just going to talk about very briefly about that is they're still excited about Fireside Gatherings and organizing your own, and the innkeepers are going to have more options, and they're going to do more for Fireside Gatherings, and they're going to rotate these Fireside Brawls. Innkeepers will be able to select these brawls. They're going to make their social experiences for Fireside Gatherings better. They're going to do all this stuff for Fireside Gatherings because Fireside Gatherings are cool, but tournament mode, sorry guys, we're out. Peace out. No comment.
Well, I think that Fireside Gatherings are important, but I also think that there is no reason to really go out of your way and go to one for the most part. Like, because at least for us, it's not like it's a 5-minute drive down the road. I would imagine it's not like that for most people.
Right.
So
yeah, the only reason I've gone to one is because I can get to one relatively quickly. If I had to drive over an hour, I would never have gone to one.
Well, even if it's like a half hour, it's still like, give me a reason to go. Like, what am I playing for? Before, when there was a Tavern Hero, okay, that's a real reason. You're going to play in the Tavern Hero. That's a way to qualify for, that's like a safety net if you don't make playoffs, which I did qualify for one time. So that was a huge reason to go. But now, what am I playing for? Like, I'm playing for a pin. Like, I'm spending 3 hours to win a pin.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
I want a cool beer bottle opener.
I mean, it's awesome to like have a social experience on some level, but on the other level, you have to give us a reason to actually come out, because there's a pretty low amount of people that are willing to actually go outside of their house and drive to a location to hang out with people they've never met before. I mean,
I would say 2 years ago, Fireside Gatherings were very popular and we were getting a lot of people at them. And over the years,
I guess that's my experience, just because we live in an area that's
There's relevant. One that's 45 minutes away from us.
Over the years, as the years have progressed, we've gotten to the point where I've only seen maybe about 10 people show up to them, and I don't even remember now when the last time our Fireside Gathering it was in Kansas City. I think the people in charge just stopped doing them because they weren't getting enough people. And that's unfortunate because I did enjoy going to them, but it was a dwindling down thing.
I mean, there's a real easy way to get people to want to go to Fireside Gatherings. And obviously they've done Nemzy before. That was a huge success in my opinion.
That was.
They could just have Fireside Gathering t-shirts or Fireside Gathering like swag outside of just a little pin. Like they could have... a card back in game, I feel like, would be way more valuable than a pin. Like a Fireside Champion card back. That is a huge reason to get people to want to go. Or literally anything. Anything that's like branded with Fireside Gathering. Because that wouldn't cost Blizzard more money. It doesn't cost them anything to add Fireside Gathering Champion.
It's almost like you need some kind of event like over a span of a few weeks where people can have these Fireside Gatherings and do something cool. And maybe it's even limited that you have to go to one of these, you know, Fireside Gatherings to get the thing. And it could be a digital thing. Because just look at Pokemon Go, for example. My wife and I went because they did Community Day in that this past weekend, yesterday. And we went to the park to go catch Mewtwo or whatever that Pokemon was in the raid. And you know, catching stuff in there. And there was easily over 200 people in that park playing Pokemon Go. Just because it was an event. It was an event happening during that time.
I don't know. Maybe they expect people to go to a location and just hang around and do nothing except for play casual matches. Like, that's so boring, in my opinion. As somebody who plays a lot of Hearthstone, to be expected to like want to go to a location just to like hang out with people to then play more Hearthstone for nothing, like for fun. I mean, I guess I'm kind of cynical in the sense that I'm a huge fan of casual, like chill, like Hearthstone things like that, but it's just like not worth it to me.
See,
at a certain point, it's like what gets someone from just going and grinding the ladder at home, because it's the same essential thing. You're playing against a different person. So it's right. Like, what's the thing that incentivizes you to go and do that with another person than just grinding ladder?
So I'm going to counter this a little bit because I'm going to tell you why I enjoy Fireside Gatherings. And for you guys, like, you're definitely more on the competitive scale of things. If I mean, Ray, you don't do your, you even said earlier, you don't do your quests
because
it takes away from your competitive play. And if you're not playing competitive Hearthstone, then what's the point? And that is very much your vision to this game.
I agree.
Yeah. And I've gone to several Fireside Gatherings, and I'll be honest, like I only play maybe one or two games total when I go to Fireside Gatherings. I don't go to Fireside Gatherings to play Hearthstone. And it's the weirdest thing, right? Because that's why most people would go. Yeah, I'd go because there might be a new brawl I want to try out. There might be, you know, I might have gone because I wanted to get the Nimsy hero. Originally, I went because they had the Fireside Gathering card backs. That was the first thing to, incentivize people to go to Fireside Gatherings. But I thought it was really cool to be able to go and talk to people who are passionate about Hearthstone. And the majority of the people that I met there, the vast majority of them, are not competitive Hearthstone players. They play on their phones on the bus. They don't have full collections. They don't have very good decks. They're just there because they enjoy the game. They think it's fun, and it's a way for them to meet people in the area that also enjoy the game. And I think that's a very important part of the game.
True. I guess from my perspective, like, there's nobody going to these things where we are, so it's not that experience where you get to meet other people. There's like two or three other people, and it, like, yeah.
There's been times where I've shown up to them where it's like, are we doing this today? Did I get the date wrong? And they're like, no, it's today. Just, you're the only person. Oh, wow. Here.
Yeah. So the ones that I've gone to have always had like 10 or more people at least. And then they started dwindling down, but there's always been at least 10. And we've had Fireside Gatherings as large as over 100.
I feel like that would be different. Like, I would actually go to that. Like, I would take the time out of my day to go to that if there was that many people and it was actually a social experience. The problem is, for me, is that there aren't any people, and I think to get the people to go, you need an incentive. Like,
yeah.
I heard that there was a Fireside Gathering one weekend when I was at a DreamHack that did get a lot of people because that was like the Nemzy week or something like that. And people will come out if there's a reason to, but every other week there's like five people. There's like five people, five people, five right. people.
So
the Nemzy comes out, there's 50 people.
Yeah, so I feel like Blizzard has to, one, support Fireside Gatherings a little bit more and give innkeepers the support that they need. On the flip side of that, like, innkeepers need to kind of be creative with their events. And that's where it kind of sucks, because it's like, okay, I want to be an innkeeper, so I want to run an event. I don't think people realize how much is involved in running an event like that. Especially a good event, because you need to find a venue. Maybe you have to pay for the venue, and Blizzard's not going to pay you back for that. So maybe you need to charge money for it so you get some of the money back. We've had to do stuff like that before, and then come up with like a theme or something like that to get people to talk and get people excited to show up. Getting people excited to show up is probably the biggest one. And, Sam Benson, who did the Fireside Gatherings here in Kansas City, did a really good job of that. He would hold his Fireside Gatherings at like bars and like tap rooms, and there's like a game board bar we've had a couple of them at. There's a brewery we've had a couple at. So these are obviously aimed at people age 21 or over, and there's an element to it where it's like you get all the beer you can drink or something like that for the hour, because we've rented out this brewery. And I think that's one of the reasons we even rented out like a movie theater, and we played Hearthstone on the big screen. We had a little tournament that I got to participate in where we played Hearthstone on the big screen, and people watched, and we had a shoutcaster. So I think some of it is also up to the innkeeper on making the events fun and enticing people that way. But Blizzard should absolutely be helping with that, in my opinion.
I feel like it's very difficult to find the time for like that big of a passion project that you'll do somewhat
for
consistently.
Free. And for free.
For free.
Yeah. Because you're not getting paid for it. It's a volunteer thing.
So it's like, there are so few of those people in the world that are willing to do that, like, that love Hearthstone, that like there needs to be some type of incentive. Like, I would definitely see more people running fireside gatherings if there was rewards for doing that, like, for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that way the person running it would also, like, be running it with the intent of, like, getting NEMZ or something. Like,
and there's some incentive there. I don't know the full benefits of it, but I do know that if you're an innkeeper that does extremely well and gets a lot of people to show up to your events, and you're very communicative with to Blizzard about what you're doing and, you know, showing them pictures and things like that. I do know they have, like, an innkeeper summit once a year out at Blizzard, where they will actually fly you out to Blizzard headquarters for a couple days. And part of it is to talk about the innkeeper program with Blizzard. But, you know, part of it's to get to go out to California and see the headquarters and hang out with the Hearthstone devs and stuff.
I feel like you're, like, people aren't going to, like, start hosting firesides with the intent of, like, getting to that point. I feel right. like you have to...
You have to be passionate about it to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like those people that jump into esports, or specifically Hearthstone, where they're just like, I want to play this game so I can become a pro player. And you're like, my response to, like, anybody who says that is like, no.
That, no, like, you don't.
That is a bad idea. Like, obviously, it's not a bad idea, like, when people are, like, aspiring pro players, they already play the game, that's different. I'm talking about, like, random people from high school that are just like, oh, I see you're doing this thing, I want to get involved in esports, so I'm going to start playing this game. And I'm just like, you shouldn't do that. You're mm-hmm. not going to have a good, like, you already have to, like, want to do it. Like, you don't just go into it with
you have
the...
to dip your toe in first before you cannonball into the waters.
But I feel like this is for, like, anything in life, right? Because you can say the same thing about, I want to go into content creation because I want to make money. And it's like, guess right, what? You're right. not going to make any money. You're wanting to go into content creation because it's what you enjoy doing. I want to make a podcast because I want to have a lot of listeners. Well, guess what? Chances are no one's going to listen to your podcast except for yourself. You're going to do it. You're going to do it because you enjoy it. Because
yeah.
And then if you're good enough at it, then, you know, people will eventually tune in. But you don't
if
go into it with the
intention
mode, of that.
You're going to make a tournament mode. You shouldn't try to make it with the intention of actually releasing it.
I was thinking, why did they even mention tournament modes not coming out? JR had a good point before the show, but I wanted to voice this on the show. Like, they could have just not said anything about it. They just got so much poor backlash from it.
Yeah, and I think the reason why they did that is because they hadn't said anything at all this year. And look at our show last week where we were, like, questioning, where's tournament mode? Why haven't we heard about tournament mode? It feels like it's just, you know, abandonware at this point.
Well, they have to address it at some point,
they're
right?
going to have to, but I think the reason why they addressed it now is with BlizzCon up in, like, 5 weeks, you know for sure that the media was going to ask about that. And then do they not talk about it and they just ignore it? That's not a good PR look. Or do they announce at BlizzCon that they're not going to do it? That's not a good PR look at their major event. Or do they answer it in these interviews that they're not going to do it? Well, guess what? That's not going to be a good look at a PR event either. So get out in front of it ahead of time, before your big event, and let people know. That way when they ask, well, where's tournament mode in the timeline now? And they can be like, you know, we're not going to talk about it, because you can go back and look at this post from a month and a half ago. And that tells you, that should tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's something that at this point, I'm really just not surprised.
Yeah.
Like, it's disappointing. And I'm like, I'm just disappointed about it. But I'm not like, oh, man, like, I was really expecting that. And like to come out this year, like, there was no way I was expecting it to actually come out this year. Like, if that happened, they have exceeded my expectations enormously.
But instead...
Thankfully, Blizzard set the bar so low that we're not disappointed by it. That we're not outraged by this. Like, this is a common thing. They've screwed up on a bunch of things. It's like, the bar is set so low. I mean, even with, like, Wild, it's like, oh yeah, we'll support the format. They said that 2 years ago, released 2 events, had 2 heroic brawls, and then that's it. Like, the bar is just so low with Blizzard that even this post made me happy because they mentioned Wild. It got to the point where at the start of this, I wanted to go in and write the State of the Wild thing. And then I thanked Blizzard for mentioning Wild in the intro. And my teammates were like, maybe we shouldn't put thank you for addressing our format.
Thanks for talking about us.
Yeah, right.
It's like the abandoned stepchild. Man. I mean, now that's tournament mode, I guess. But I guess the competitive scene in general.
Yeah.
I hope they have a lot of work to do for next year if they want to have quality events. And with the release of Artifact coming up and other games just like fighting for that kind of CCG slot, I'm hoping that they will have to improve their quality or improve the amount, like the time lag.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
Well, at least they didn't skimp out on the new player experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to talk about that real quick. I think this is actually pretty cool, to be honest. The new player experience that they're doing is they're adding another 25 ranks for new players. So you can be a rank 50 now, and basically you don't lose stars. But the only people that will be in that 26 to 50 rank will be new players.
Yeah.
Do you know how many games that is? That's 125 games that you have to win to get into the normal ladder. That's absurd. Like, for a new player, for someone who's playing casually, like, you'll get to rank 20 because you have to win 25 games right now. They won't make it to the current ladder. Like, they have to play 125 games.
Yeah.
By the time you get to, like, rank 25, you're going to be heavily invested in the game. So this is going to weed out a lot of the people who are coming in with just basic cards.
Yep.
Which is, there are rewards along the way, they said. So I'm pretty happy about that, because now the complaint that you hear a lot from new players is, hey, I just played 25 games with my basic deck, got to rank 20, and then I got completely swamped by people with all these meta decks and legendaries and such.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm glad they did this.
Yeah,
they
so you're going to be playing
this, and people will be up to speed by the time they hit the actual meta.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be playing a lot of players with, you know, same kind of decks you have. I think it's not going to be good for someone who is competitive right off the bat and maybe just dumps a bunch of money into the game. And
you can
like,
skip the first 25 levels.
Oh, I missed that.
There's a way to opt out.
Okay, yeah, then that's great. Yeah, if you want, if this is an opt out thing, then yeah, that's awesome.
Dude, but if you're a free to play player, though, there's like I think the rewards are going to be fairly substantial. So if you want to grind out 125 games, I think that it might be worth it to do that if you're a free to play player starting in.
Man, if they made me climb an extra 25 ranks and took away my quests on my other servers, oh, that would have been a twit longer, not a tweet. Oh, man.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty cool. That's something that they've needed to do for a while. So that's pretty neat. The other big bombshell, we'll just cover this just real quick. It's not even a bombshell. They're introducing a new paladin hero, the Annoyatron for Hollow's End. Yay. Okay, let's
skip
that. Can't
wait to see his greetings.
Yeah.
We'll
wonder what he'll say.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so
and
that's
the new
thing.
Classic cards.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah, this is what I want. This is why I was skipping over the hero real quick. I was going to come back to the classic cards, guys. But yeah, the big thing that, in my opinion, was that they're adding these new classic cards. And there's four of them. And so these are going to be part of the Evergreen set. So yeah, I'm not sure what I think about these cards, but they're cards.
Filler.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't expect that they're supposed to be classic cards, so it's not going to be something that changes the game completely.
Right.
Like, the only one that I could see potentially seeing play is, like, maybe you try to run this Icicle card, which is deal 2 damage to a frozen minion. If it's frozen, draw a card. Like, that's something. At least it has an effect.
I don't know. Think about what it's replacing. Think about why they did it. They did it
they replaced Ice Block. This is the replacement for Ice Block.
So, like, I think that it should be more interesting if it's replaced. Like, all these cards are replacing cards that were effectively banned for being too good. All
right.
And they're being replaced with filler
yep.
that is unplayable. So you're just having less and less playable cards, which means you're just going to keep seeing more and more of the same thing that we've already been seeing. Like, if they created a card that actually maybe gave, Elemental Mage or, like, Freeze Mage, like, a Freeze-based archetype, like, viability in some way, like, maybe that could shake up the meta. Like, there was something more they could do, but instead they chose to take the safe route, which is to make cards that will 100% not impact the metagame in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which is a bit disappointing.
So the thing is, like, I'm going to go over all these cards real quick. Because the first one I thought was, I was like, all right, this is something. And then the next three made me go, okay, this is lazy. because the first card, as Danny said, it's a 2-mana mage card called Icicle. Deal 2 damage to a minion if it's frozen, draw a card. Now the next three, the first ones, they all cost 1 mana. The first one's a mage card called Tome of Intellect. It says, add a random mage spell to your hand. The second one is a warlock card, costs 1 mana, Call of the Void. Add a random demon to your hand. The third one is a rogue card, costs 1 mana, called Pilfer. Add a random card to your hand. Oh,
from your opponent's class.
From your opponent's class. Okay, cool.
Well, at least they stay consistent with the class identities, and they didn't do anything overboard. I mean, what do you expect from this, right? You don't expect them to come in and do anything completely broken. What were the cards they were replacing? They were replacing Power Overwhelming in Warlock, Conceal in Rogue, and Ice Lance in...
No, and Ice Block. Ice Block, and I feel like there's another mage spell that was banned.
Ice Lance?
Was Ice Lance?
Yeah. Ice Lance, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
If we did get something out of this, the last paragraph they said on these classic cards is, looking forward, we expect more cards to join the Hall of Fame. There are still some open gaps in classic where neutral legendaries join the Hall of Fame, so we're considering adding some new cards to the classic set in the future. So I wouldn't take this as just being like, oh, they're just going to do this. I think that when we get to the legendaries, and when we get to things rotating to the Hall of Fame, I think that there's more room for them to do things. I think that this is them just tipping their toes in the water, like I said earlier, and just like getting a little bit of a feel of what's going to happen. Like, none of these make it into any meta decks. Maybe Icicle a bit, but I wouldn't be surprised if the legendaries have at least some niche use.
I'm surprised Icicle didn't say deal 2 damage to minion and freeze it. If it's already frozen, draw a card.
Yeah,
that would make it like a little bit more interesting, because I think then maybe it's viable, just because you could freeze something.
Yeah. I still would have rather seen them replace classic cards with cards they already had in,
need a whole new rework of the classic.
I still want to see them do a rotation. I really do.
If they're not touching the other formats and they're like, hey, what should we do with Wild? I don't think they've looked far enough into the future with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I still want to see a rotation of cards and just like half the set stays, half the set rotates based on, and it might be like cards from any of the sets that have come out since Classic. I think that would be fun, because then you'd bring cards that might be in Wild and you get to bring them back instead of them being in Wild forever.
It could be like fan favorites, like how Magic always reprints Lightning Bolt. Like, they could reprint like Lotheb.
Yep. Yeah,
stuff like that people actually really enjoyed.
Yeah,
and
You're looking back at Lotheb with rose-tinted glasses, though. If Lotheb was in the meta right now, you'd hate it.
No, I'd love
it. I don't
think
so.
I would love it. I would love it so much.
See, you say that now, but like whenever you run into Lotheb in Wild, like it's a fringe card. Like, but the times you do run into it, like a lot of the time, it's turned away just based off of the way that the Wild meta is, at least, to being a card you put solely in your deck because you're aggro and you're trying to seal the game out so you win on turn 6.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I just feel that a lot of the times Lotheb is...
it's anti-combo.
I'm trying to figure out why I hate this.
But I don't know. I think that a lot of people look back at Lotheb with rose-tinted glasses.
No, Lotheb
and
was
the same thing with like Dr. Boom. Everyone's like, "Oh, the most powerful card."
I don't think the same way about Dr. Boom. Lotheb is one of those cards that the reason why I like it so much is because of its versatility, because as you said, you can use it in an aggro deck to lock the game down, and or you can use it elsewhere to disrupt a combo or give yourself an extra turn, knowing when something's coming up and things like that. I think it's a great card. I love it.
Maybe it's just because I'm biased, because all of our combos are minion-based right now.
I don't know. I even think stuff like bringing back Reno would be good, because Reno made your random cards that are like almost playable now playable.
I never want to see Reno again.
I did not hate Reno, mainly because Reno was like associated with control, and like I really enjoy playing slow control decks, so I enjoyed it. But
the thing about Reno and Wild, I think it gets better. Obviously, the card gets better as there's more cards put into the pool, but like Reno Warlock has become a deck where you run so many cards that are that have the same effect. It's like hit a critical mass. Whereas like in the past, it's like, oh, you have one copy of Dirty Rat new deck. If you draw it, you win. If not, you lose. Well, now you can put Dirty Rat and Demonic Project. And utility-wise, they do the same thing. So it's like you can start playing around things more, because the effects that are happening are fairly consistent through something. Where it's like now you can play a Sludge Belcher, you can play an Apple Bomb, and you can play Giggling Inventor. They all do the same thing, and you can play around them because like they're like, oh, there's going to be a taunt coming down on five. And you can be aware of that. Whereas a lot of the times with Reno, it's like, did my opponent get that one card in their deck that they need for this exact specific situation? And it's like, when you have more redundancy, it's like, okay, you can start playing around different things.
Yeah. We probably need to get out of here. I'm running out of time. I gotta get going. So sorry to cut things a little bit short. We were going to talk about the meta. Instead, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown. Go check out the BlizzPro ladder optimizer. We're up to number 34. If you're interested in what is like the top effective laddering, at all ranks, we've got Odd Warrior, Odd Paladin, and Even Warlock in that order. From rank 5 to Legend, you're looking at more Even Warlock, Odd Paladin, and Token Druid. For top effective win rates, all ranks, you're looking at Odd Warrior, Odd Paladin, Even Warlock. At the higher ranks, you're looking at Even Warlock, Token Druid, and Odd Paladin. So Odd Warrior is one of those things that is doing really good at all ranks, but once you start getting rank 5 or higher, it goes down quite a bit. So something to keep in mind. All right. We did have an email this week. I'm going to read this off and have you guys answer it. This is from Michael McGonigal. He's actually the guy who puts together our data for the BlizzPro ladder optimizer. He says, hi.
Daddy.
Yeah. He says, hi, guys. In most Hearthstone metas, there is typically a particular deck which shapes the meta. In Kobolds, it was Q-Block. In early Witchwood, it was Even Paladin. In the current Wild format, it is Star, Align, or Druid. Do you have a single deck which is shaping the meta now? And if so, what do you think it is?
Stroke. Bam. Got him.
Starliner Druid.
Yeah. So he says, perhaps instead we have an instance where we have a card shape in the meta, such as Giggling Inventor. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So Ray says Quest Rogue. Or I heard that right. Right? Quest Rogue?
Yeah. It's definitely Quest Rogue. Quest Rogue is oppressing the control decks. Like you said earlier, the ladder optimizer does say Control Warrior is the best deck at all ranks, but at High Legend, there's hardly any Control Warrior because there's quite a bit of Quest Rogue, and Quest Rogue just means if you queue into the wrong matchup, you just immediately win or immediately lose, and it is polarizing the metagame in that way. And it's like forcing things like Tempo Mage to become popular again. It's forcing aggro to be a bigger part of the metagame because you have to answer Quest Rogue, and people don't want to play decks like Control Warrior, because when you're at High Legend and you queue into that Quest Rogue, the game is just immediately over. Like I've queued into, whenever I queue into Warriors, generally the game doesn't actually play out. Like they'll concede on turn one, like they'll concede immediately as soon as I play the quest, or they'll wait until like to see if they can try to aggro me down or whatever. But if I get the quest done, they'll just concede, because there's no point in wasting your time. Right. Like at high legend, you're not going to play against somebody that's going to just not know how to go infinite with Zola. Like, it's so easy that, and it's impossible to beat. So it's just like, people just don't waste their time, which is, it's kind of sad, honestly. Like, as soon as you play the quest, they concede. But that's happened so often that I think that's part of the reason why people don't like to play Control Warrior as often on, or just Control in general. Like, people would rather play something like a Druid just because they have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say at all ranks, there doesn't seem to be a deck that does. But like you said, I've heard that Quest Rogue at the higher ranks is definitely the case. Okay. Danny, what do you think about this? Like, for Starliner Druid?
Starliner Druid really, he nailed it on the head there. But the big thing is, I want to address his next thing, saying maybe we have an instance where a card is shaping the meta. In Wild, it's a little bit different. Everyone's playing Dirty Rat, and that shapes the meta. Because everyone's trying to counter that deck. Everyone's trying to counter Starliner Druid by running Dirty Rat and Deathlord. So the big thing that that prohibits, actually, is there's maybe about three or four decks that you just can't play. You can't play something like Exodia Mage, where you're running like Antonitis and then Emperor Thoris, and because everyone's playing Dirty Rat. So because this one deck, this combo deck, is so resilient to Dirty Rat, everyone's playing it. It turns out that the other decks are affected because of that as well. So anyone trying to play any OTK Priest, OTK Mage, even like OTK Paladin, like that had the potential to do fairly well against Druid, but because everyone's playing Dirty Rat, you can't go and play many combo decks anymore. Like, Malagos is out of the picture now because everyone's getting their stuff Dirty Ratted. So the only decks that can really deal with what's going on is Starliner Druid, and if you get hit by a Dirty Rat, you pretty much have a 50% chance of winning that matchup, where it's like all the other ones instantly lose when you get played an appropriate Dirty Rat at the right time. So yeah. Dirty Rat really sealed out most control combo decks, but like the Starliner Druid is just so powerful that in that combo sense, if you don't pull the right piece, you pretty much lose.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully that answers your question, Mac Daddy. So, thanks for sending that email. If anybody out there has any kinds of questions for us or things you'd like us to talk about, just send us an email, wellmet@blizzpro.com. That's how you get a hold of us. All right. That's the wrong button. All right. I need to get my soundboard a little bit closer.
So good.
Yeah. So anyway, time to get out of here. We've got Patreon. You can head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast and get this a little bit early if you're $5 or more. Spend a little bit more than that, and you can get some coaching from Ray.
Woo.
Sorry, that sound was still bugging me over there. It's really loud in my ears. Okay, iTunes reviews. We didn't have any this week, but if you'd like to give us an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, type in, do a search for a podcast, type in Hearthstone. You'll find us there. Leave us a 5-star review, and we'll read it on the show next week. Closing. So, Ray, how can people get in contact with you?
People can get in contact with me on Twitter. twitter.com/pg_racy, and you can watch me on Twitch at twitch.tv/racy591. And I've been streaming a bit more, and we've actually been getting pretty decent ranks. So like yesterday, one of my viewers asked me to play Mally Druid and teach them how to play Mally Druid. So I just did a whole stream where I just played Mally Druid and got to top 100 and tried to explain my plays and like what you want to be accomplishing in like each mashup and stuff like that.
Yeah. Danny, how can people get in contact with you? Do you have any shout outs? Either of you have any shout outs?
Oh, I don't have any shout outs for this week.
How about you, Danny?
I guess Saiyan for being a monster.
Ah, nice. How about you, Danny?
You can find me on Twitter, DennyDonuts_HS. This week, I want to give a shout out to the Blizzard devs for being the most hard to get people, hard to get their ear. So we put the feelers out there. Let's see if you're listening.
Yeah. As for me, you can follow me at Eldorian on Twitter. I don't really have any shout outs this week. Just pray for me this week. I'm going to be driving out to Colorado on Wednesday in a car with my wife, my mother-in-law, and my mother. So for 10 hours. So hashtag pray for me.
I'll pray for you.
Yeah, it'll be
press F to pay respects.
No, it'll be a good time. I kid. But yeah, just thanks for joining us for episode 167 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com, including our BlizzPro Ladder Optimizer, which we talked about earlier and briefly went over. You can also tweet us at WellMet Podcast or email us at WellMet@BlizzPro.com with comments, questions, ideas you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.